Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts. Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel, and Ben Kingsley, Chair of Property Investment Professionals of Australia and the 2014 and 2015 Property Investment Advisor of the Year.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch, where each week Bryce and I give you the insider's guide to property finance and money. Hey, mate, why did I do the intro? Because you are still down and out.
Mate, I've still got the voice from the plane and the flying, but that's okay.
That's right. So, as per usual, I'll keep interrupting you and talk over you, and that way hopefully it'll give you a voice.
We'll just feel right at home.
Just like any other week.
We obviously had a great trip away, and we're back. Ready to deliver frameworks.
Sounds like Ivis has got the bug as well.
Yeah, she's got it too. She's
all right, go and cough over in the corner.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's right.
Thank you.
Hey, today I thought we'd, it's been a couple of weeks since you launched Picker.
Yes.
And I thought, how's it all going?
Well, remember, it's still pre-launch, so we're still asking for all of the people who want to join and be active. Mm. You can obviously still wait list to be a member, so you can still go to the site. Picker.asn.au, so PICA.asn.au.
And the take-up's been pretty good. You've had a few people reach out to you, which
absolutely
is great.
It's good, and there's a lot of people joining the waiting list to join. So once we get all the back end sorted and we launch the largest site with all the information, and people are giving us some feedback on the charter, the draft charter that we've developed there in terms of what we stand for and what our principles are. So it's an exciting time. So I suspect this is going to go on.
Man, why'd you pioneer it? I mean, it's not as if you just didn't have anything to do between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. You just thought I'd just add something else?
No, look, I'm a property investor, and I've seen some of the changes that are coming and that have happened, and I feel like, we are being a little bit singled out. And, to have influence and to have a seat at the table when, policy is being developed, well, there's an enormous amount of value in residential property. There's over 2.2 million property investors that don't have a voice. Mm. So let's coordinate that, bring those people together and get that voice out there.
So what are some of the objections that you can help overcome? Someone's thinking, I want to get involved, but what are the things that they should be thinking of just to give them total comfort around it's the right thing for them to join?
So it's a community, okay? So the idea is we want to educate and bring awareness, and we're going to formulate policy around decisions on taxation, around decisions on depreciation, all of those things, and just start to build that community and share that and maybe do some meetups where people can get together and share their story. So one thing this isn't is going to be led by business. Okay, this is an association run by property investors for property investors. Now, naturally, there are going to be people like me who are involved, but we want the vast majority of the people to be mum and dad investors, to be getting involved. So even if you've just got one property and you want to see, basically a level playing field out there for us investors, then join us, because your money is going to go towards things like putting an economic paper together in terms of showing the benefits that property investors deliver to the economy, jobs and growth and all those types of things. And then we'll also do some analysis and we'll get some feedback from you in terms of why you invest. And so we're getting a lot more knowledge. And so as united as we can be, that will be able to allow us to put some information out there in the community, rather than the messages, the misleading commentary, all those things that are happening right now. If we can get, I've got an ambitious target, Bryce.
Ooh.
I want 1 million. So I want 50% of the people out there. It's $5.
Mm.
$5 or $20 for 5 years membership. If we get that membership high enough, we'll be able to help communicate and be at the decision-making table, because we understand that, there needs to be some tax reform, and we'll talk through that. But, to basically make decisions without consulting, the people who it affects the most doesn't quite make sense to me.
Two groups. What about the people who want to be an investor who aren't? And what about the people who were property investors and have sold?
We'll take all people on. Ultimately, even your daughters and your sons and anyone over the age of 18, we're happy to have as members. Budding property investors who want to eventually buy an investment property, all of those can join us, and so can associate businesses, but they don't have a voting right.
Mm.
It's very clear to me this is not about being able to be, for our members to be, hit up hard from a database point of view from potential businesses. There's no means by which that will be able to happen directly. We've written that into the Constitution. So I want to again reassure people that this is an association for property investors, run by property investors.
It's not a marketing pitch.
It is definitely not a marketing pitch.
Mm, all right. Well, there you go, folks. If that sounds like something you want to be involved in, the entry level is very low, Ben, so it's affordable for everyone.
Yep.
And you're going to use the money to put for initiatives to carry that voice.
Yeah. Exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
So there you go, folks. Why don't you check that out? PICA.ASN.au. .au. There you go, folks. Hey, my mindset minute theme today, Ben, is I've talked about this before, but there was a four-letter word that got me a job in television, so I want to talk about it today.
Okay. I'm already interested. Did something fall on your foot?
Yeah, well...
Bark?
Yeah, no.
No.
Ivis is looking at me. She's going, where's this going? She's wondering if she's going to have to put the E word up, the little explicit thing on our podcast.
Ouch.
But the four-letter word for me is form. F-O-R-M.
Oh, form.
So let me explain.
Please do.
I had a friend in when I was living in Queensland, good mate of mine. He was a master networker, right?
Yep.
And so what he said to me, he said, Bryce, if you remember the acronym FORM, F-O-R-M, you will never be stuck ever in your life at a party, at a networking event. And to be honest, he's been absolutely right. So the way it works is this. I've turned up at a house in North Balgowla.
Mm-hmm.
It later on turned out to be my executive producer's house. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm thrust in. There's two actors, a soundie, a cameraman. There's a whole range of producers over on the side. And then there's me and a friend who was auditioning with me. And so they said, all right, now cameras, everything's live. Now sell the house to us. And I'm like, I don't sell houses. I'm actually the property investment guy. I didn't say this, but this is what's wrong in my head. I'm the property investment guy. I talk about demographics. I can tell what the demographic of the area is. I can tell you the land size, if it's a good potential for investing. But I don't sit here and say, look at the beautiful stone bench tops and how ornate are the ceilings. I just didn't do that right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought I'll go to my strengths. And my mate said to me, whenever you're in a situation like this, go to form. So it's F-O-R-M. F is for family. O is for occupation. R is for recreation. M is for message. So he said, be very clear. Do not start at F. Do not start at O, you must start at R, recreation.
Yeah, okay.
So the first question you ask someone, so for the listeners, if I'm in a room of people I've never met, this is my go-to question or a very slight variation to it. And I used it on Saturday night when I was, a couple of weeks ago, when I was at my son's primary school ball. There's a bunch of people. Says, tell me, Ben, what do you like to do when you're not working? Collingwood, tennis, travel. Yep. So, because you've given me a few little leads, I can run with it and I can probably get 5 minutes out of everything you're given if I listen with the intent to understand, not the intent to reply, so I can go pretty well. Straight away, we've built a bit of a rapport, right?
Yeah, totally.
So what do most people say when they meet someone? What do you do for a job? Well, what if I hate my job? Or what if I do something that I'm just not inspired by? It'll shut the conversation down. But if I talk about the thing that I'm really interested in, it works really well. So you start with R, recreation. And then from there, we've built some rapport, a little bit of trust, and I go to family. So you're married, how many kids have you got? Are you one of, you've got older brother and sister? Again, I can let that run. And then I go to occupation last, right?
Yeah. What do you,
because I built some rapport, and if they've got a job they don't like, they're quite happy because they feel like we've had some form of connection.
Yeah, I like
so
it.
How did I get a job in television? Well, when they said, right, sell this house, I just did that very thing. I looked at the two actors, I said, what do you like doing when you're not working? And they said, oh, we love to cook. And I said, how good is this kitchen? Because you can see the outdoor entertaining it because it was a beautiful home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an open plan living, so you can have your friends here with a glass of Chardonnay whilst you're doing the last bits of preparation. The kids can be out on the back lawn there. You can keep an eye on them. So I started talking about lifestyle, and then I went, well, so how many kids have you got? And they made up, I've got two kids. I said, this house is perfect because you've got a pool at the backyard, but you don't have to worry because you can still see them whilst you're doing the very things you love doing. And so I went on. So then my message at the end of that in a business scenario is, can what I have solve what you're looking for? If it's in a social scenario, do we actually have enough in common that we would actually be friends? Or have we got too much not in common that we don't? So
We would never be friends, would we? Because you're Freo and I'm Collingwood.
Correct, yes. But ultimately, the formula is...
It's brilliant.
The formula is drop the last three letters off the word formula. So you're left with form and start with recreation. Ask them about what they like to do first, then go to family, then go to occupation. I guarantee if I've got someone who's not trying to stonewall me, in fact, just trying to shut a conversation down, I use that every single time. Ben, you know when we have drinks here, and I do that with every single person.
Yep.
And it's something that I've used for the last 20 years, and it works. So that's the four-letter word, folks, that got me a job in television.
I love it. I love the story too. It's really cool. Form. Mindset minute. That's a moment.
Well, that wasn't a minute. I took a little bit of time. But
I like it. Keep talking.
I was just pushed. She's just pointing.
Yep,
to,
yeah, take it.
She's just pointing to
good,
the time.
Good message. That's a bit of gold there. Listen to that. So adapt it for life.
There you go. You won't forget it if you do. Ben, we've got a framework.
No, are we unpacking a framework today?
We're going to unpack a framework. Here's the deal, right? The amount of times that someone comes up to me and says, Bryce, tell us a strategy about buying properties prior to auction. And so there's a bit of a technique. Yep. And then they say to me, why would someone sell prior to auction? And I've given up trying to come up with all the answers that people do, because sometimes it's just, circumstances, sometimes because so we decided that we'd actually give a
brainstorm
framework.
It. Yeah, brainstorm and throw a few ideas up.
So we threw a few around. So let us know if you agree with these folks. Let us know if you think there's some that we might have missed. So
you want me to lead off?
I do.
Mate, I'm going to start with an actually marketing ploy.
Ooh.
So this is a little bit different. So I sort of look at it like this, where I'm basically talking about if for whatever reason there's a time issue, and we'll talk some about some other time issues as well, I reckon. But this one is about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so auctions are about creating scarcity and creating an outcome
competition.
By a set time in a competition sense. So I actually think that agents might say, look, let's put this under, forthcoming auction or auction set date by this or offers before. So all of a sudden, it's actually a means by which the vendor, and they might be traveling overseas, they might have other commitments, but that's the sort of thing for me. If it is a marketing ploy to basically create that interest and get a result sooner rather than later. So I'm saying the number one is because it is an agent-led ploy. To get an outcome quickly.
I like it. There's actually an agent, I can't think of his or her name, I think it was a him, on the central coast of New South Wales, has a market that's around 400 to 450 as a typical sale price. Mm-hmm. And that market's not typically where you'd expect auctions. He goes to auction, I'm pretty sure it's he goes to auction on 95% of his listings, right? And in a market that's not known for going to auctions, because what it does is it actually time stamps the marketing campaign, which is what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If the listener thinks the real estate agent only gets paid for their time. So if they have a private sale arrangement, that could go for 8 weeks, it could go for 12 weeks, whereas an auction campaign has got usually a finite time.
Because we know, don't we, that when a property's been hanging on the market for a while, what's wrong with it?
Mm.
If it stays on too long, and we know it happens in Queensland as well, doesn't it?
Well, the power shifts, doesn't it?
To
the buyer. But this particular agent uses that as a time frame to create scarcity, to create urgency, so that they can get through all their campaigns. So I think you're absolutely spot on.
Mm.
That one of the, you got to think about, it's not just does the vendor want to sell to me? It's the agent who's got ambition and goals, and they're trying, because if they do private sales all year, their income will probably be a third of what they've done, because they've got these rolling campaigns.
Yep.
They get the deal done before the auction, but it creates the urgency in the time frame. So I think
I love it.
I think
I love it.
Opening the batting with that one is a good one.
What do you got?
For me, I'm going to go massively telescope.
Yep.
Big picture, sort of the external micro factors. Think about talk of sentiment change. Think about interest rates. Think about government changing. Think about last year when the negative gearing debate came up. All those things create anxiety and uncertainty in the mind of the vendor. And so therefore, if any of that exists, I think that's often one of the reasons why a vendor would be keen to take an offer and accept any reasonable offer.
We've already seen the Sydney market come off,
and
that is changing the sentiment in that market. I mean, we were there a couple of weeks ago, and speaking to the people there, they all said, definitely, market's definitely slowing. So if you are that, you're sort of thinking, now your macro might only be your state or your city, and you're starting to think, well, all right, just if, you know, a bird in the hand as opposed to potentially a couple in the bush, I'll grab that offer, all led by that particular macro factors that is changing the view in the media, you know, all of the sort of boom bust type cycles we go through in the media. So I think that's a cracker.
All right, we've got another one for me?
Well, yeah, probably the nervous seller. Mm. I mean, that's a classic one where, you know, they they're not familiar with auctions, they don't understand the process, you know, they don't want to go through the, you know, this anxiety burn that's going to happen when they, you know, on the day of the auction. So, you know, and usually, you know, that they may be an older vendor or a deceased vendor, and they, you know, don't have their partner there anymore with them to sort of give them the confidence and the security. And even though the agent is going to hopefully reinforce that, you know, if they're still a little bit skeptical about agents, that can certainly be a place in that. So I reckon that's the nervous seller, the one who's willing to sort of say, all right, well, again, if I've got a fair price and that's all I was looking for, that's going to be enough to get me moving, I'll probably move on the sale.
Yeah, well, if you think about the auction process, as you know, Ben, the person who wants the auction is the agent.
Hmm.
The buyer doesn't want it. In fact, a lot of the time, the seller actually doesn't want it because, it, like you say, it just gives them gives them that internal churn, that internal burn. So, yeah, often they get a little bit of stage fright. And the agent is so used to the auction process that it's so desensitized to them that they will happily take, and they know that's where they can get it out. But
and it's amazing, isn't it, to think that some vendors are just happy to get a fair price.
Mm.
I mean, the vast majority, and the job of the selling agent is to get the best possible outcome.
Mm.
But in some cases, we've talked about this before, where a vendor has sold to the couple that they prefer better, that they've got a connection with. And this is a beautiful family home, and I want you to create your memories there. I don't care if someone's going to offer me more. Because we always naturally go to that position that everyone wants the most, and if this thing's going to sell for $400,000 above reserve, I'm going to be doing cartwheels because that sets me up financially. But there are some vendors out there who may be nervous and who are saying, you just get me that because that's all I need and the job's done.
I think you raised a really good point there, because if you've got a someone who's got a family home, it's been their family home for 30 years, and they would just love to see another family get that property versus a developer who's hanging around at auction, that's another reason.
Yep. So you could picked be up sold, on, could be sold before auction.
You picked up on a very good point. So nervous or sentimental nervous. Seller.
Yeah, sentimental seller. Yeah. Love it.
All right. Okay. I reckon this one's a bit of a no-brainer, but they're committed elsewhere. They've so
forced sales.
Whenever given the choice between certainty and uncertainty, they will take it every day of the week. And of course, if they then have you know, translate that uncertainty into certainty, they can then maybe line up settlement dates as well. Mm. So, you know, the classic they've bought somewhere else is one of the reasons that bird in the hand's worth two in the bush.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, in a moving market, a lot of people were forced to do that. Mm. You know, they were sort of saying, I just need to get in, and then I'm reasonably confident that my property will get a certain value. So if they're upsizing, you know, they were forced, certainly in the Sydney market, it's happening a little bit in the Melbourne market as well, as opposed to going the other way around. Because we would always say, if you're a conservative person, you should sell first and then buy. But if the market's moving too quickly, you might just jump in. And so obviously, if they have done that and they haven't sold their property, guess what? Again, a good, strong offer early in the campaign could potentially get that property off the market.
Mm, all right. Got any more for me?
Mate, premium offer.
Mm.
So this one is that if you can get me a price above this, which is my outrageous price, then why am I waiting?
Mm.
Put the paperwork in front of me. There might be a time where I go, so you got me that. Do you reckon you could get me a little bit? No, don't be greedy. Just sign the paperwork. So definitely a premium offer is going to see a property being taken off the market. And we do see that with builders, developers, if the land has got some reusable or more productive sort of use, you'll definitely see ridiculous prices paid. I mean, we're seeing these houses in one line that are being sold for millions and millions of dollars, because guess what? They're all going to be bowled over, and there's a block of apartments coming your way around that neighbourhood. But certainly a premium offer, too good to refuse, so jump on it.
No, I totally agree. And we as buyers agents, our team often misses to someone who puts in a premium offer.
Yeah.
And when you unpack that, it's because they've been to, you know, seven auctions, sick of spending, building and pesting, and they just think, right, I just want this to end.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've missed so many, they're so intimately
aware
of the nuances of value and price in the little pockets that they're looking for.
Yep.
Whereas someone who's come along and just seeing the campaign won't know that.
A stretch.
But
they're going straight to the stretch away.
And they're just thinking, you know, gosh, if only I'd paid my stretch four auctions ago, yeah. I'd be paying cheaper than what I've got now. So in the end, they just, what is it, a hail maker and just...
Yeah, throw it in there and then move on.
So that's why someone would pay a premium offer at times, just to get rid of that. Okay, the next one for me is... it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? You know, no buyer interest or limited buyer interest.
Yep.
If the campaign's undercooked or the campaign's running out of steam, And we go back to the, you know, this one back here of number three, where we've got a nervous seller.
Yep.
We just want to make sure that they get a deal done. So they're happy to have any form of offer and they're happy to take it, because it's nothing worse than getting to an auction and it's only one person. And
oh, look, I mean, you lose, and this is where you've got to have your trust and faith in your agent, don't you, Bryce? You've got to basically say, please be truthful to me. And a good agent should be truthful, because they also don't want the embarrassment of two people turning up for the auction and one vendor be going. It's not good for their brand as well. So from that point of view, if they've got the limited buyers, I'm going to be working hard to get a deal, get a result before the auction. And so if we know that the agent's calling us on a regular basis, there is limited interest. We know if we're chasing them, okay, we've got a bit of a fight on our hands in terms of getting this one. And that's basically how it plays out. So, yep, limited buyer interest is definitely another reason why vendors sell before auction.
And in that case, if they do it early enough, they don't have to have sort of auction, no calling off and all that sort of stuff. So there's some incentives for the buyer as well. Good one. The other one, the one I can think of is a bit sort of obscure, but unreliable sort of sales comparables.
Yep.
Where you're in a market that might have turned Sydney to a certain extent, where you know it's getting this price, but then it's getting a little bit less, and it's just really patchy. And you know, when we're comping up stuff, it's pretty easy to work it out when there's consistency. But when there's when those sales results are a bit patchy, and particularly if there's signs of a downturn, that's another reason why a vendor would just accept a bird in the hand.
They would. I mean, and that is again about liaising and getting some feedback. In terms of what is, and it might be a unique property. In fact, it could be the ugliest property in the street, and you've just got none of that interest. And then someone comes along who might have an alternative view, like you did when you made it orange, and you thought orange was the next blue or black.
You find the other unique buyer.
And you get that sort of thing. So that's where it's difficult. So if they're unreliable sales results, or it's an interesting property and you get an offer on it, it could be another 120 days before you get your next offer. So they'll take it off market before they take it to auction. Then, mate, the one of the other ones that I've always thought about is, it happens on rare occasions, but it does happen, and that is the uneducated seller. So the uneducated seller could be, again, someone who might be older in years, who hasn't really worried about their market, hasn't watched their property prices, been living in that same house for 60 years, and effectively, they don't know what their property is really worth. They've probably got a 1990s or a 2000 price as opposed to a 2015 price. Now, if they brought an agent in and the good agents, they may be able to obviously explain what it's worth. But if they're realistic and the agent's not working on their best interests and they want to do a quick turnover, all of a sudden the so-called auction that was about to happen won't necessarily happen. And another example of that is also when it might be a deceased estate. And then so the actual next of kin or someone who's representative of it is in a position where they're going to be able to engage an agent. And sometimes, you know, they, you know, these state trustees, they put the weirdest agents, the out-of-market agents, on these properties. And so they don't even know what the true value of it is, and potentially it's, you know, the agent thinks it's a good price, but in reality, the real market's probably another 30 or 40 grand above that. So the vendor's taking advice, you know, or the next of kin's taking advice from an uneducated agent or a non-local agent. So that's a great little time to strike.
Could love them in terms of taking. Love the non-local agent. You just ask them to meet you at the property at sort of 5:45, and they realise how hard it is to get across town. How hard it is to get across town, and then all of a sudden they go, "I just want to get this one off the books. I've got to." So that's another reason. So, all right. Well, I think we've rattled off a little bit of a
quick and easy today. It was good.
So the reasons why vendors sell before auction: one, as an agent's marketing play; number two, external or macro factors; number three, the nervous / sentimental seller; number four is the seller that's committed elsewhere; number five is where they get an offer too good to refuse on the premium offer. Number six is where there's limited buyer interest. Number seven is we got patchy or unreliable sales results. And number eight is the uneducated seller. So there you go, folks. Why don't you let us know on social or send us a link. Let us know some other reasons why you've come up with a pre-auction offer. We'll share that out to the community. We'd love to talk about that. All right, today my life hack, Ben, is with your phone.
My phone? Do you want it?
Yep.
There it is.
Well,
Just my type of phone, did you mean?
Well, I was just thinking sort of, you know, symbolically. But, right, sorry. That's right, I appreciate
thanks.
I'm not used to the focus. But so do you know that, Ivis, you can charge your phone faster if it's in airplane mode? If it's in airplane mode. So if you're down to the... Captain Skeptical over here.
I am really keen as to how you found out about that one.
Because
is that one of our listeners reaching out to you?
No, I actually researched this because I was down to the wire and I needed it. I needed it to go quickly.
That is a good one.
Do you like that one?
That's a good one.
So charge your phone faster. Notice I didn't say iPhone, Ivis, even though on my notes I did have iPhone. But I don't know in Samsung, it's the truth. Ivis is nodding.
But they can just throw their Samsung on a table and it charges. Yeah. I mean, you know, mind you, the new Apple's apparently going to do that 3 years later.
Yeah.
When they first introduced it.
Yeah.
It's good to see Apple on top of the world. I'm only joking. I've got a few Apple devices.
Yeah. You're like a...
I'm just a middle ground.
It's hard to describe.
I just want to share the love.
You use iPhones and Apple stuff, and then you get grumpy at them every now and then.
I might even buy one on our trip. Might be an early adopter of a... I only know why, because I keep missing my meetings. So if something is rattling on my wrist, it'll probably say...
Apple Watch.
Something, well, it might be an Apple, just anything that vibrates to tell me that I need to be somewhere. Because you know me, I just get a little bit...
Left yourself as open as a chemist with that comment, but we'll move right on. So
that's a great one, mate. I really like that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to catch the sincerity in his voice.
No, the sincerity's there. Well, that's what I thought.
I do these for you. The listeners just get to eavesdrop on all the...
Not that your others aren't any good. Your others are good as well, but that one just was a little bit special. I don't know why.
Now Ivis, come on. Know. Now he's taking the medal. All right, mate. Well,
good job.
Pressure's on you because I've batted up and played ball on that.
So you've had to go to the well. So what's the next one going to be if you're right at the bottom of the well? You need the listeners to reach out.
Mate, give us something through. I'm always happy for the listeners to reach out.
What's that speak pipe?
Yep.
Is that it?
It's on the Ethernet, mate. You know that Ethernet thing that might go off one day?
World Wide Web.
The Internet, man. Might go off.
Well, if you've got any of those, what's that one? That's the life hack?
Yeah.
Please, shoot them in.
I've got to be able to use them, though. So that's the challenge.
You've got to test them out.
I've got to test them.
Okay. Well, still, send them in.
But I want to hear them. But I'm happy to take the kudos, so.
Beautiful.
We're getting the wind
up. I know. This is
the shortest podcast in living memory. We're getting the wind up.
We have to be somewhere, obviously. Where do we have to be? Little vibrating wrist is telling me that it goes somewhere else.
Did you know, Bryce?
All right. Did you know? If you took one step, right, and then took another step, you'd be two steps forward. But what if each one of those steps doubled every time you took those steps? My question to you is... how many times would you circumnavigate the world if you took 30 steps?
Okay, can I pull out my iPhone?
You can try and Google it.
Well, thirty steps is a million under our compounding thing. 1 cent, 2 cents, 4 cents, 8 cents. It takes 30 days to get a million.
Yeah, each step doubles.
Yeah.
So every step you take, how many times would you go around the world after 30 steps?
I give up.
Would it be 10?
100.
100 times?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit too much. 26.
Oh,
26 times.
Mate, that's
impressive. Double, 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 double. That was 30 doubles.
What I'm hearing is my life hacks have to be realistic and your did you knows don't have to. Because who can double it every...
Why did I pick my topic?
Who can do four steps? After four steps, they're stuffed, mate. They got the splits.
Normal step, double it. So apparently that last step is like it's a billion. It's basically a billion.
Little shout out to the listeners.
A billion metres or something like that.
Old mate Kingsley needs some help with these did you knows. So if you can go to SpeakPipe on the property couch.
You didn't like that one.
Oh, man, that was terrific. That was
what about that other one I built in, you know, 6,000%?
That was pretty good. So, listeners, just between you and me, if you've got any for the old boy, just go to the website, flick us a note, and we'll read them out. That was good, mate. I think that was, of all the did you knows you have ever done...
That was just another one of them.
...that you've ever done, that one there was, without doubt, the most recent.
He's good like that, isn't he, Bryce?
So, mate... have you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
That's it.
I'm good. Get on picker.
You got anything, Ivis?
Ivis, anything
jump
to
on
share?
Jump on the picker train, folks.
Any housekeeping?
Yeah.
No.
So a few of you got to meet Ivis in Sydney.
Oh, wait. She's double click. Yes.
Oh, Movember.
Oh, yes. Movember.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about this. Have you... like?
Oh, of mate, course.
You've got it. You've got...
Movember.
Mate, you look like, you know, the... the
how
wolf,
can we not
the,
forget
the,
it?
The wolf from...
considering that we've got Moe's right in front of us.
All right, so...
so we're chasing $5,000.
Yeah.
Chasing down $5,000. It's important. Obviously, cancer is a killer. We've all been affected by cancer in our lives. So we're going to do Movember. I'm going to do handlebars. I don't know what Bryce is going to do.
I'm just going to do anything that looks like growth. So the link will be in the show notes, so check that out.
Yes.
We're going to raise some cash.
We are. We're going to give it, pay it forward again, raise do some, something for somebody else.
Raise some cash. So, there you go, folks. If you want to see my pathetic effort of a mustaka, check out Instagram. I think Ivis will probably put up a five-day progress or something like that. But no, good cause. Good
yeah, idea. I thought, yeah, I've done it once before.
You get your mo done in 3 days. I'll need every one of those days.
I've got a beard in a week.
Yeah.
So, yes, true.
All right, so...
sometimes I don't know where to stop, Bryce. Have I told you that story? It's why I wear a chain, so in case I don't half my chest as well.
No, that's the gag about the Italians, isn't it? Why do they wear gold chains? So they know where to stop shaving, so, yeah.
Sorry, apologies to all those Italians, Greeks, and everyone's listening.
So there you go, mate.
There we go.
Another week done.
Another framework down.
Until next week.
Knowledge is empowering, but only if you act on it.
See you guys.